Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Vintage Church. My name is Tanner Griffith. I'm one of our pastors here that serves you. And if you're new with us, we do want to say a special welcome to Vintage Church. We exist to make much of Jesus Christ. That is our purpose. We're a church that loves our Savior. And every single week, we preach from the Bible. We want to get into God's word and see just how it applies to us. This year, we have a new kind of theme. Over the past 3 years, we've went through our big mission as a church, which is to know the gospel, live the gospel, and advance the gospel. That's been what we've been doing for the last 3 years. This year, we're going to look at that great command that God has given his church. God has given his people to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. This is our theme this year. So if you're new with us, I want to invite you into that this year. Man, would you join us? This year, we are going to focus and really get serious about what does it mean? One, what does the word love mean? In our day and age, love gets thrown out a lot. I'm like particularly guilty of this. I love tea. I love sports. We say love to everything. What does the word love itself even just mean? But particularly, I want us to really lean into God calls us to love him. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with all of our hearts, souls, mind, and strength. Why don't we get serious about that? And the second command is like unto it, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So this year, we're going to really just jump all into that. So again, if you're new, I want to invite you into this series. Like this whole year, we're going to look at first, what is love? And the way we're going to do that is to look namely at God's covenants. He covenants with his people, and you just saw one of the first covenants in the Bible, the Noahic covenant, was just read to us. We're going to look at how does God relate to his people? How does God give us a picture of what love is? So we're going to do that through covenants, and then we're going to jump into Jesus' life. We're going to be in John for a while. So again, I want to invite you to get involved. If you are new with us, I'd love to tell you about two things. One, we'd love to connect with you. So we have connect cards on our info table that we would love to just get your information. If you have any questions, if you want to connect in a certain way, man, fill that card out and we will be in touch with you. Secondly, we have an app, Vintage Church. If you go on whatever your favorite downloading app device is, whether you're Android or Apple, go search Vintage Church and you can get on the app everything that we're doing. You need to go listen to Pastor Jared's sermon last week. Some of you weren't here last week. It was a great sermon. You can go on that app, look at the messages. You have to click north, you know, because there's three of our sites. Click north. Go listen to that message from last week. It was amazing. But for all of you out there, we have that resource for you as well. So if you don't have our app, would you go get that? Again, today, we're going to be looking at covenant. Covenant is how God relates to us. God invites us into real relationship. And we're going to see that that's what covenant is all about. It's all about a place where we're completely loved, completely known. And God's going to just be faithful to his word. It is this place that we come and we have complete security in our relationship with God. So we're going to talk about that for the next 4 weeks. If you would, I'm going to ask God to help us in this time. Let's pray. God, you know our hearts. You know what 2018 looked like for us. For some of us, it was a very hard year. For others of us, it was a joyous year. For most of us, it was a really complicated year. You know exactly where each and every person that walked through this door is. And this morning, God, I pray that you would speak to each heart and invite them to know more who you are, particularly through the nature of how you relate to us, which is through covenant. So God, would your Holy Spirit this morning just help us to understand the amazing things you have in your word for us today. It's in Jesus' name we make this prayer. Amen. 2018 has come to a close. This is our first week in 2019. And I wanted to start off a little bit with just remembering some incredible things that happened in our church last year. Last year, we had an incredible year. Last year, we won, moved here. So this was like our first whole year in this place. And it was really amazing to see. A lot of times when you have a move, you just have a lot of bumps. The move itself has just been kind of an amazing fit. After this service, if you're new with us, if you have kids especially, kids kind of run to that playground outside. And one thing that was really cool to see is our church already has a family atmosphere. And I feel like that out there, after our services, a lot of us just like hang out afterwards. And it was amazing to see just this family become a little bit tighter. We had groups that were planted this year. We had women, 62 of you went on the women's retreat last year and really developed something that I just think was special. Over the last year, we've seen people come to faith this year. It has been an amazing year, and we need to celebrate what God's doing. I am so excited about 2019, though. 2019, I'm just praying that as we go through this theme, to love God and to love one another, to love our neighbor, that we will start seeing ourselves grow in a way that like is just very healthy. This year, again, the beginning of our series is starting in covenants. If you were listening to Genesis 9, this morning as it was read, you get to hear this language that God uses when he speaks to Noah. And he's speaking in these kind of unconditional terms in this passage. And he's talking to Noah and his family, and he is saying, I am going to covenant with you. I'm going to promise you that never again will I destroy the earth with water. This message is kind of a hard 2019 message to start with. Modern man, we just don't like thinking about, well, so you're not going to destroy us. That seems good. But in light of it, you're like, but he just destroyed all flesh on earth outside of those that were in this ark. Like this message, we just got to, from the very beginning, I've got to start with going like, I get the backdrop of this passage. For a lot of us, it's just hard to swallow from the get-go. Okay, God's not going to destroy us. How is this good news? Well, let me tell you, it's about the story. Covenant is the central theme of the whole Bible. At least if you don't think it's the central theme, it's one of the most central themes in the whole Bible. It is about how God relates to his people. And what you're going to see in this passage is the first covenant that is incredibly clear to his people. And what we're going to see over the next 4 weeks is how God makes a covenant with Noah. He makes a covenant with Abraham. He makes a covenant with the people of Israel. And he makes a covenant with David. And I just wanted to show you just a slide really quick. These are what scholars call the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant and the Davidic covenant. These are the covenants that God makes with his people. So you might be having a question. Well, okay, you're using this language, covenant. What does covenant even mean? Like, this is how God relates to his people. This is how he promises his people. Tanner, can you back up? Can you tell us a little bit about what covenant really means? That's great. Let me walk through this. Let me answer this question for you. A covenant is about two things primarily. First, it's about a personal relationship. A covenant is something different than a contract. It's not less than a contract, it's just more than a contract. A covenant is about a personal promise that you are making to another. A covenant is about, here's a way to say this, love. It is a promise that is made to one another. When you get into a covenant, when God's getting into a covenant here, he's also offering something personal. He is saying in every one of the covenants that we're going to see, here's what I promise to you. A covenant is personal. It is about love. It is about relationship. The second part that a covenant is about, it has love on the front end, but it also has a legal component. This passage that we're going to see today, there is no legal component of this covenant. And here's what I mean by that. There's conditions to a covenant. In the next three covenants that we're going to see, the covenants come with, so I'm making a promise to you, but here's what I promise to do, and here's what I need you to do. So again, it's not less than a contract. It's more than a contract. A lot of us, we don't know how to relate to a covenant. There's not many, you know, pictures in our life in modern society where we're kind of in covenantal relationship. The best picture I would say to you is marriage is a great picture of something that's has some kind of terms or conditions, right? But also is grounded in a personal relationship. It's saying, hey, I am going to always commit to being for your good, no matter how you treat me. No matter what you do, I am going to be for your good, serving you. That's the nature of kind of a marriage covenant. And there's these conditions to it. There's some legality to it. The deepest relationships that each and every one of us have would bleed towards covenantal relationships, is what I would say. The deepest friendships that we can have, they look more like covenantal relationships. Relationships like where even if the person does you wrong, you're going to be for them, and you're going to work over that. But covenants have those two parts. There is the personal commitment. There's the promise of love that you'll see in a covenant. Here's what I promise to do to you personally. But then there's this legal component. And there's a lot of relationships that if we wanted to dissect, a lot of us are in contracts, right? We have contractual relationships. Most of us have those with banks, typically. Or, you know, if you have a loan of any kind, there's some conditions. I'll give you this. We promise to give you this money if you pay it back based on this schedule. There's conditions to it. And those type of relationships, they're great. We each need them. Contractual relationships or kind of consumer relationships, we all do need. I mean, I go to the grocery store and I love it. And you've heard me talk about how when Aldi came to town, that, you know, relationship that I had with one grocery, I was like, oh, I like Aldi, it's cheaper. You know, for me, some of you are like, well, I don't like Aldi because I don't think it's as good as whatever store, Harris Teeter, Kroger, wherever it is, we need relationships like that where, hey, I've got a contract, I'm a consumer with you, but if someone else comes in that's better, I'm going to leave. Well, that's not the way it works with covenantal relationships. Covenantal is just totally different than consumer relationships. Here in this passage, we get to see this first covenant. It's very explicit. And in this passage, we get to see this is an unconditional covenant. There's not a legal side to it. And what I mean by that, there's not terms and conditions in this covenant. In the next few weeks, you're going to see some where when Moses was given the Mosaic covenant, which is the law, God told his people, if you don't keep up your end of the covenant, there's going to be punishment. There's going to be discipline. Some of you know through the story in that covenant, when they break it, they get sent out to exile. With that being said, it's hard for our brains to process what is going on with covenant sometimes. So Tanner, you're telling us that God enters into relationship with us through covenant. And part of the covenant is, I'm always going to be for you. Even when you mess up, I'm always going to be for you. There's these terms that are there. This is how you should live. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love God. How do these two things go together? How does this work when God's saying, I'll be faithful? How does this work with our unfaithfulness? And this is one of the trickiest things I think about the Bible. When you read the Bible, over and over, you're going to see a God that says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. But in the Bible, you're also going to read sins that he holds people's sins accountable. That he doesn't overlook our sins. He sees it. And so the question becomes, well, how do we deal with both of those realities all through Scripture? I'm going to forgive you is on one side. On the other side, I care about you doing the right thing. Be holy as I'm holy. How do these things go together? And I think for most of us, we fall into two camps. We fall into one camp over here, which is be holy as I'm holy, is like, yeah, we always need to do the right thing. You always need to be doing the right thing. A lot of people think these kind of as conservative-minded people. It's like, I need to walk in this lane. I need to always be doing the right thing. I need to live and follow these rules and do all the commands of God. The other person sits over here and says, God's going to forgive us. It doesn't matter what you do. God's a forgiving God. It really doesn't matter how we live. And a covenant invites us into a relationship where God's going to hold both of those things together. Love and law are going to be held together in God's covenants. The best place to see this is Jesus Christ on the cross. The question is, will God forgive you for your sins? Yes. Does God care about the way you act and the way we hurt each other, the way we abuse one another, the way we treat one another, the way we think about one another? Does he care? Yes. It is in the nature of covenant with our great God that we actually get to see these two things come together, law and love. So, I'm in Genesis 9 today. I've got to get there. Okay, so this is, I want to tell you, that's all to set up covenant. Okay, covenant is about God's promise to us that he will be faithful. He will be faithful to his word, even if we are not faithful to our side. Okay, that's what a covenant is. We're going to look at this over the next 4 weeks. So let's flip to the actual covenant. This is in verses 8. Actually, I skipped one part. You don't know that I skipped, but I just told you I skipped. So I just messed up here, okay? I want to read this. The one important thing is we're going to go over the Old Testament covenants for the next 4 weeks. The Old Testament itself already knew that there was this future covenant that was needed. Let me read you this from Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah 31, verses 31 and then 33 and 34, Jeremiah says this, "Behold," or God says this, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." There's four covenants in the Old Testament, and there is a great one coming in Jesus Christ. He establishes this new covenant in which we relate to God himself. He completes every single requirement of every covenant that we're going to see in the Old Testament. He himself completes it, and he makes this new covenant with us. And so today, as we talk about the Noahic covenant, this Genesis chapter 9, I want us to remember, one, this unconditional covenant here is a picture of what Jesus is going to do for us ultimately. So let's read. In Genesis 8 through 11, God says this. And this is, I'm sorry, Genesis 9, 8 through 11. "Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, 'Behold, I will establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you. As many came out of the ark, for it is for every beast of the earth. I will establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." The first thing we see is the unconditional nature of this covenant. What I mean by that, is there anything in this covenant for people to do? No. The earth in this story has just been flooded. God is reestablishing order. From the early pages of Genesis, sin enters into the world and it just explodes upon the earth. Adam and Eve eat a fruit, and the very next sin you see is Cain killing Abel. I mean, sin multiplies on this earth, and it grows, and it becomes such that God, right before this narrative, says, "I need to start anew." And a flood is brought upon this earth, and God is talking to Noah, the one that he selected, him and his family, to build this ark, to bring all to safety. And God comes and speaks. and he starts this unconditional covenant. That will not happen again. This will no longer happen to you. So the first truth that we see here is this is an unconditional covenant. This covenant is a covenant that cannot be undone by anything we do. There's no terms and conditions for Noah, his sons, his children. God says, look, I am going to keep my word. I am making a covenant with you. In Hebrews 6 tells us, man, when God swore his covenant, he just swears on himself. The greatest, highest thing. He is going to make his word stand by saying, I am making this covenant with you. There's no greater thing I can make this covenant on. I'm putting this covenant on myself. I will not destroy you. Again, by this, some of us will be thinking, well, I'm glad God's not going to do that anymore. But think about that. Think about if you were this family. For those of us who come much, much, much further after this event, I mean, this, anytime you saw clouds coming, you'd be wondering, what in the world's going to happen? What's God up to? Every time you saw a cloud and God comes and he says, look, never again. This is my word to you. Never again will I destroy all flesh. He makes his word just really relevant to these that just went through this insanely traumatic story. This covenant has no conditions. This covenant is all from God. There's no part of Noah, no part of his sons in it. He says, I will do this. This promise and this covenant is just, again, all based on who God is and his word. When we see this covenant, it does remind us, though, if we know the other covenants, it actually has a striking, it stands out because it has no conditions. Typically, like I said earlier, law, there is a legal component to the covenant. There is always law and promise. Here, we only see the promise. And this reminds us of our great Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in 1 Peter 3 when reflecting upon this passage that he says Jesus Christ is going to do this again for us. But Jesus Christ, he will be our ark. He will be our ultimate salvation. Jesus Christ is the one that this promise is fulfilled in. He is the one that has saved us from the wrath of God. See, God does actually care about every sin and every evil deed on this planet. And if you've ever been really hurt, if you know someone that's ever been very hurt, that has been sinned against, this is good news that our God has wrath against hatred. It would be just an awful God. Just like it would be an awful judge. If a judge was in Raleigh, North Carolina right now, and murderers would come up, or different people that have broken the law would come up, and the judge would just be like, I'm merciful. Thank you guys. Y'all can just go from here. How good of a judge would that be? Would you respect that judge? No, like, hatred, sin, abuse, it needs to be dealt with. And our God is the God that does have these legal commands that says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you don't, I care. I will do something about those broken commands, those laws. I will respond to that sin. This morning, I want you to know if you've been hurt, God cares about that. God has cared about it, and you see how much he cares about that on the cross of Jesus Christ. It is at the cross of Jesus Christ that we see him take the wrath of God and bear all those legal kind of conditions to his covenants, all this law that says, here's how you should interact with each other and with me. Wherever that was broken, God came and his wrath came against that sin on Jesus Christ. And he poured it all out because God had to be good. He would not be good if he just, I just forgive all sin. This covenant, though, is just that unconditional covenant. It's striking that it doesn't have conditions to it. And God is just saying, I am going to be for you. I'm going to be for the world. I'm going to be for all flesh. I love in this story that was read, he actually says, if anyone takes any man's life, you're going to be held accountable for it. Because every man, every woman is made in the image of God. He upholds all life, all flesh, and not just human life, all life. He loves his created world. God is doing something here that shows us that God is not just about us. He's about all of his creation. Jesus Christ was about all. He was coming to save us from our sins, but he's also coming to reconcile every single thing to himself and to restore all things, including all creation, to himself. And it is in this passage that we see God's covenant that he enters into with Noah. It says, look, I am going to keep up this, my word. I'm going to enter in this relationship with you. The covenant here comes after a blessing. So I just want you to see it. It's verse 9:1. Noah's gotten off the boat, and the first thing God does says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. It's an interesting thing just to note that covenant comes after blessing. Blessing is kind of what defines covenant to God. Those who enter into covenant with God are those who enter into a blessed life. This specific blessing we've heard before, if you know Genesis. Have you heard, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth? You remember that? What chapter is that in? Some of you are like, don't test me. It's Genesis 1. It's in the first chapter of the Bible. God creates the world. He creates all that there is. He creates man. And what does he tell him? Be fruitful and multiply. There's two important things that I think to this, just a note in this passage. One is that's a blessing, not a command. One reason that I just want to note that is for a lot of history, if you've had problems getting pregnant, a lot of people look down on you as you are cursed. You know, you couldn't live up to this kind of command that God had of you. That's completely ridiculous. Jesus, or this text, in both texts, says God blessed. He was not commanding. He was not commanding us, hey, just go have babies. And that's my main command, is just have babies. You know who would have broken that one? Jesus. Jesus would have broken that command, but he was fruitful and he multiplied. It's a blessing. God's given this blessing. And the important thing to note here is God is the God who loves to bless people. He loves to bless people. To Noah, they get off this boat and he's restarting creation. This is the first chapter is about the creation of the world and all that there is. And this is now he's starting again and he's saying, be fruitful. He is adding his blessing to life. And covenant comes within the blessing. It comes inside of this blessing here. The blessing of God is important for the whole story of God. God's whole story is a story of how his blessing is going to change the whole world. And it's interesting, all sin that exists does exist within the curse that's upon us. Galatians tells us that Jesus Christ, he became cursed. He took the curse of all of our sin. Why? So that we can now have the blessing of God. God is a God of blessing. God wants to invite us into relationship. And the way he does that is he offers us covenants. And this covenant here is one that I'm really glad exists. It's this unconditional covenant that God said, I'm not going to destroy the world again. I'm not going to do it with through water. I'm going to hold fast to this word. Covenant is the way that God relates to us. It's this theme that we're going to see over the next few weeks. And what I want to challenge you with today is covenant. God covenants with us is because he wants to have a relationship with us. Covenant is the way that God relates to us. This God is not just something that can be contained in your own mind. He can't be just contained as this impersonal God of your thoughts. He is the God of all things. And when he comes into relationship, it is a fearful thing to come into relationship with this real God. He's coming after you. Is what I would say. C.S. Lewis was thinking about some of these thoughts in this book he has called Miracles. And listen to this. He's thinking about the way people think about God. And I love this thought. He says, he starts with how people love an impersonal God. He says, an impersonal God? Well and good. A subjective God of beauty, truth, in goodness inside our own head, better still. A formless life force surging through everyone, a vast power we can all tap, best of all. But a living God, pulling at the other end of the cord, approaching at infinite speed, the hunter, the covenant Lord, the husband. That is quite another matter. There comes a moment when people who have been dabbling in religion suddenly draw back. Supposing you really found him? Or worse still, suppose he found you? Did you kind of get that? For some of us in this room, God's an impersonal God. And that's pretty well and good. He has no, you know, he doesn't make any demands on you, but he's there. That's well and good. For some of us, he's the God of our minds alone. He's a God of truth, beauty, goodness. He can be defined and kind of captured in all of our thoughts, controlled. It's nice to have that God that we can kind of be in control of. For some of us, man, he is this, I love how he says, a formless life force surging through everyone, a vast power that we can all tap at any time. Oh, wow. What a God. He says, best of all. But I love this line. But a living God pulling at the other end of the cord, approaching at infinite speed, the hunter, the covenant God, the husband. That's quite another matter. The covenant God is a God that wants you. He's coming for you. He's the beginning and the end. He's not just a God that you can look at, experience in your mind. He is going to enter into your world. And the way he enters into all of our worlds through the story of Scripture is covenant. He offers us relationship. And he says, look, this is what I'm offering you. I will be faithful to you. No matter what you do, I will be faithful to you. And I want you to enter into the relationship with me too. I want you to say, I will be faithful to you. I promise to give myself to you. No matter what you do, I want that. That's the relationship that he wants with us. The living God, the husband. This is the God I want us to meet this year. The God that's approaching at infinite speed, that cannot be stopped. A lot of us probably don't want that God. He's going to interfere with everything, every decision I make, every amount of money I make. Every moment of my waking day might be just about him. I don't have time for that God. I need the God I can control, some of us say, or the God that's just the impersonal God. How can I walk with him this year like that? It's the only way to walk. It's the only way to walk is to walk with the real, the living God. And this morning he offers you, if you've never entered into a relationship with you, he wants to covenant with you. He wants to say, I will always be faithful to you. I will always love you. I have done this through my son. I have sent my one and only son for you. He has taken your sins because I care about your sins. They have crushed, they have hurt, they have destroyed you, they have hated others. I've taken all those sins in him. And he has died for you and risen again so that you might have new life. He offers us himself this morning. How does this apply to us through this year? How do we take the God of the Noahic covenant, the God that says, hey, I'm not going to destroy the world ever again. I'm making this covenant with you. How does this apply to our day in, day out lives? One is, I hope it makes you want to be kind of a covenant person. And here's what I mean by that. I hope you start to grapple with, over the next few weeks, what it means to live within covenant. What does it look for us to live within this love of God that we can be sure of, certain of, because of his word towards us? And also, this God that we know, he actually does have some conditions to our lives. He does ask us to obey him. When I was talking a little bit earlier about the two types of people, the type of person that's like, God will always forgive me. I don't need to do anything. Like, God will just always forgive me. And then the other person that's like, I've got to obey and I'm always going to feel bad because I'm never perfectly obeying. You know those two types of people? A covenant person can kind of hold these two things as realities. We're not going to obey God out of getting from God. We're going to obey our God because we love the commitment that he has made to us and know that he has paid for every single mistake we've made too. He takes our sin seriously, but he also takes his grace seriously. He takes his mercy seriously. And so it makes us want to obey him out of a heart for him, not out of some duty, because we're in a covenant relationship with him. So first, I hope it makes you a covenant person in that way. Secondly, a lot of you are in what I would say is covenant relationships. You're married. You need to think about your marriage. Does it look more like God's covenant? Or does it kind of look like a contract right now in your life? You haven't been living up to your side of the bargain, so that's why I'm not loving you right now. That's why I'm not serving you as much. I need, you know, my space. Like if you were giving, you know, if you were serving me in this way, that's, you know, you'd be getting this in regard. That's a contract. That's not a covenant. We should be covenant people, especially for those of you who are married. What does it look like for you to mirror God? And for you to say, look, I'm going to be faithful to you no matter how you're faithful to me. No matter how you respond to me, I'm going to be faithful to you. So if you're married, think about that. You might need to make some changes. You might need to talk to a pastor, talk to a counselor. If you're not married, how does this apply to you? Covenant relationships are like a great thing. Like friendships, I would say try to get in more covenantal style relationships where you're going to say, look, you know, we've had our honeymoon period. I met you. I really liked you. You know that period in friendship where you're like, man, this person's awesome. And then the second period comes. And that second period is like, oh, they're not as sweet as I thought they were. I know all of you have had that with me. Okay. Oh, okay. Tanner, this is who he really is. You know, you got the honeymoon. Then you've got that period of like real. And this is the real world. The most powerful thing that our community, you know, a lot of us have is we have the honeymoon, we see the real, and then we move on. That's not helpful. The best relationships have this, instead of moving on, you covenant with that person. Say, I'm going to be in this. I'm going to be in the real world. The person I saw the mess. And you know, that can be relationally, but that can also be for our church too. So everyone in our church, what does it look like for us to do that with us? To say, look, man, I'm new to this church. I'm in the honeymoon stage. Well, let me tell you, you're going to see us for who we really are. We're not the perfect church. We don't have the perfect music. We don't have the perfect pastor. We don't have the perfect location. We don't have the, there's a lot of things. And just get to know us, see us. We're not perfect people. What does it look like to covenant together? That's membership, is one thing that's called. That's like the way you're involved in your community group. It's the way you are as a friend. Let's be a covenant people. So, again, three pieces. Be a covenant people with especially the way we think about God. Let's be a covenant people in the way we think about our marriages. Let's be a covenant people in the way we think about our relationships. God is going to do an amazing thing this year in our church. I just know it. Next week, we're going to look at the Abrahamic covenant. This covenant is like this amazing covenant that God makes with this very particular family. And it starts something that's just, it's not going to end till we meet Jesus face to face. So let me just invite you to stick around for the next few weeks to join us as we meet God over these weeks. Let me pray for us. God, would you help us to be a covenant people. But namely, God, would you help us know you, the covenant God, the God that loves us despite what we do, despite our shortcomings. You are the God that has loved us because of who you are. God, I pray in this room this morning, God, where you're working and moving, God, would you just stir up whatever you need to stir up in our people this morning? God, would you help us respond to you now in the way that you would have us respond? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.